Hello again and welcome to True Wealth, your tangible assets advisor. This is Kevin Walter, your host. True Wealth is sponsored by Coins Plus in Spokane. It's a company I'm very familiar with. I happen to own it. And Coins Plus is a full-service rare coin and precious metals broker-dealer depository service. Frankly, unlike any other in the United States. The deeper I get into this business, the more experience I get, the more I'm looking around at what's out there. I don't like it. I'm seeing people again, customers, listeners, getting taken advantage of. Folks, be smart. You listen to the Coins Plus radio show or True Wealth, and you're like, well, it's kind of like, over the years, as I've hired people, I treat people really well and pay them well. And when you hire kids like right out of high school, which is a really bad thing, the worst thing is to hire kids or people that live at home with their parents, because parents are parents and they're babysitting and babying, and especially when they're 35 years old. Trust me, been down that road. But it's the same concept. It's like they tend, if they're coming right out of high school and you give them a really good job, really good pay, an excellent work environment, they always think the grass is greener, okay? And so people listen to my show, and I've heard this where they're, you know, I've watched this. It's not, you got to understand when, you know, it's kind of that Dunning and Kruger effect. You don't always know what you don't know, but I do know what I know, and what I know is a lot, and I've been doing this a while, and so people listen to the show, and they think, they get a little educated, and then they hit Google, and then they really think they're smart, and then they go out and let some telephone solicitation company or some online marketing company just pound them into the dust. I'm sorry, it is a free market, caveat emptor. And that is what it is. And I just saw a deal yesterday. That's why I'm talking about it. someone who said, well, yeah, they've listened to my show for years. And, they bought a few little things, but then they start getting worked over by a telephone solicitor. Well, where'd the telephone solicitor get your name? Oh, I don't know. Everyone's like, oh, I don't know. I don't know. Well, I know you gave your name up. And these are the same people that'll be concerned about their privacy, and they're filling out forms. And, you know, the biggest scam you can get into, folks, is, you know, win a free ounce of gold. Give us your name. You're not going to win nothing. I'll guarantee you 100% they hand select who wins that. They're not, it's not the lottery, not that that's good, but I mean, the point is it's not regulated by a whole set of rules and laws where they have to control who wins. They just go, you know, that Joe Smith who spent $500,000 with us, he's a pretty good guy. We made a lot of money on him. How about we let him win? That's what goes on. So don't buy into that rubbish. And I'm telling you, don't give your name up all over the place. And don't buy into, I mean, just use your head. You know, all this ransomware that's going around where they seize, you know, they go after businesses with profound needs. And now they keep it a lot quieter when people get popped by them. They don't go after individuals as much. They've gotten a lot bigger fish to fry, they've thought. But that always comes from people giving up information that is excessive and unnecessary. If you just have a brain, I had an employee working here for a while, a long time ago, that just could not comprehend. And if you had to listen to this guy, you know, you'd think that he was really on top of it, but he could not comprehend the difference between, we'd get an email, that spoof emails, like, that say from PayPal or eBay or something that say, oh, you have a problem with your account. You need to log in now and fix it. And then here you go, right out of an email, click, click, click. And I told him to, you know, it was like four times, don't ever do that. I said, go straight to the actual website. And he just was so confused because I don't know why he just couldn't get it. So he's like, well, I clicked on the thing and it took me to my website, to their website. Well, my wife and I were on vacation in a nice place. And one night I went to check something. We had over $40,000 in PayPal because we were selling quite a bit online at that time. And I couldn't log in. And my password wouldn't work. And I'll be honest, I was in Fiji. We went to Australia on a church plant tour with a pastor friend of mine and his wife. And we spoke and we helped plant three churches. And then I took him and his wife to Fiji, to Castaway Island for, I don't know, maybe a week or something. Or 5 days, maybe, whatever. But while we were there, praise the Lord, I had a weird instinct. And I went down to their tiny little irrelevant business center. And I got on the computer and I went to check some things. And I could not log in to PayPal. At all. There was no way. And I'm like, what is going on? I couldn't get a password reset thing or anything. So I tried to call them. And they're like pretty rude, and they're like, where are you? And they're saying, well, the password on your account was just changed today. And I'm like, yeah, well, that wasn't me. And then the lady's like, where are you calling from? And I'm like, Fiji. Click. And then the next one I had to call like 5 times, and they're like, so I'm trying to call from Fiji. This is the problem with money paper stuff, folks. We've got a business in Spokane, Washington, where when you sell stuff online and people pay, it goes to PayPal. Then I'm trying to call from Fiji, and they're like, and the password had just been changed that day by fraud, because this person that was working for me at the time, this was like his fifth round. I mean, that was the end of it, I think. He just couldn't comprehend it. It was just interesting, to put it lightly. And you can see their position. They're getting a call from some random teeny little pinpoint speck island in Fiji going, hey, you know, this is my account and da 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 da. And they didn't have the proper security checks. It was not, they check, you know, they're tracking where everything's coming in from. Finally, on like the fifth call, and they kept hanging up on me, which is terrible. On about the fifth call, I said, can you just please, I talked to this gal. I said, I need to talk to a supervisor. What for, sir? I said, I need a supervisor. And then I get to a supervisor and I said, I need your supervisor. What? No, I can't pass you up the line without finding out why. I said, no, I need it. I said, trust me, it's a security issue. Somehow I got to the next level of management, and the gal that answered, I said quickly, I told her, I said, here's the deal. My account's been hijacked. I'm in Fiji. You know, it's a U.S. account. Your employees keep hanging up on me, and I need to freeze the account. Just freeze it. I said, I'm not asking to get money out of it. Just please freeze it until we work this out tomorrow morning, I don't even know the time difference at the time, but it was well after business hours there. The cool thing about being in Fiji or Australia, you're a day ahead. If it's Wednesday here, it's Thursday there. It's bizarre. And so they finally froze it the next morning. I mean, I sent emails and stuff so that this employee was aware of what occurred. And still, he always had this squinty, like, I'm so confused look on his face. And when I talked to him, he's like, well, Kevin, I just don't get it. I'm logging in, like you said. I said, no, you're not. Because back then, you used to be able to scroll the cursor over the what they call the hot link. And if you paid attention, they might say ebay.com, and you think you're clicking on it. But if you scroll over that hot link down below, it'll show you what the actual domain address is that you're going to. Now they can mask that. So you have to know, man. You get any email from anybody that has anything to do financial, you leave the email and go straight to that website and make sure that one's not corrupting the next. So anyway, when I finally froze that account, $44,000 had already begun transferring. And when we got it all worked out at the end, this gal said, "You're so lucky you found that." She said it was minutes away. And she said basically what they do is they bounce it through like seven countries, and there's no federal, there's no remedy. It's gone. It goes through all these different legalities and all, you're done. The money's gone. And so that's a long story to a short point. Point being, be wise. I deal with people a lot that are like, "I just don't understand money, you know, it's just so frustrating." Yeah, money is simple. God made it, okay? You work, you get it. Maybe you inherited it, maybe this, maybe that. Hypothetically, well, no, every penny you get, someone worked for. Yeah, but not, so I got Social Security. Yeah, you don't think someone worked to put that money there? They may be corrupting it and butcher shopping it. It's still work energy. So that's step number one. Number two is you spend less than you make. Oops, there's a concept. You have to have less going out than you do coming in. How about that? Can you comprehend? That sounds like a deep thought. You know, and then you set up a pattern of self-discipline. There's another concept. Self-discipline, and you save. You set money aside. You live simpler. Now, if you hit the lottery and you're filthy rich, you know, have at her. No, just still, you should save and balance. And then, like today, well, yesterday and today, I had two conversations. Today, I talked to a friend of mine that I've known for, I don't even know, 25 years, who's the president of a large mortgage bank, Flagstar, I think it is. Big. Superpower, superhero. And he's like, "Dude, I'm struggling so bad on what to do with my money." And you know, this guy's talking about, you know, mortgage-backed security premiums and bond yields and all these things that I understand and how one affects the next and his concerns. And he's like, "I don't know exactly what to do with my money." And I was like, "Dude, you got to hedge a fair amount of it in metals." And he goes, "Yeah, that's why I'm talking to you today." He has income real estate. He's the president of a substantial banking organization. And he knows what's coming. The rates are climbing. They're starting to pop those up. And like he said, this is a guy that is in the banking world, and he knows for a fact that, I mean, he's profound. I think Fortune 150, he knows for a fact the Great Reset is already underway. What is the Great Reset? In a nutshell, for simplicity's sake, the Great Reset is a design to unify all global currency. In 1946, we had the Bretton Woods Act. After we helped every major allied nation win the war, oh, and by the way, paid for it, and by the way, somehow ended up owing a bunch of money to these countries like France. So after that, we set up the Bretton Woods Act. The Bretton Woods Act made all these countries agree that the U.S. dollar would be the oil boar's currency. Okay, this frankly is why we, is one of the reasons, one of the main reasons why we destroyed, killed Saddam Hussein, Hosni Mubarak, and Muammar Gaddafi. Hosni Mubarak was the leader of Egypt, Muammar Gaddafi was Libya. These countries were our allies, these men were our friends. And we destroyed them. We killed them. We had them slaughtered. It was terrible. It's absolute pure homicide. And this was done under, you know, Bush went after Saddam. Why? Well, he refused. He said he wasn't going to use the dollar anymore. He controlled a significant portion of the world's oil. And so no matter what the reasoning, you can stack up the Bush thing and everything, but no matter what the reasoning, that was really behind it all. You may not recall, but during the first, you know, I always get confused, Gulf Storm and Desert Storm, whatever. The first one in the 90s, we were finding trucks full of $100 bills, U.S. American cash, because he had so much money, he just didn't even have a clue what to do with it. And, of course, we had to seize all that. And that's as we're, you know, Iraq was an absolute mess. It was a Bush fantasy. There's so much more going on. The Bushes go way back with the Bin Ladens and even Saddam. It's just ugly. Okay, but the bottom line is that's why we took them out. We turned the world upside down. We made people, you've probably heard the conspiracies, oh, Dick Cheney. It's true. He's like a major corporate exec and board director for Halliburton. And they make weapons for wars. Well, the bigger the war, the more they make, the more money. And he just is, that's why they're such a grouch. Why do you think Liz Cheney hates Trump so bad? I mean, just hates him, trying to prosecute him for lies and everything, because he dared badmouth her daddy, Dick Cheney, and exploit and reveal what he was up to. And then you go into, then, you know, we get into the next regime of Obama, and he takes out Hosni Mubarak and Muammar Gaddafi. That was terrifying. I mean, Hillary Clinton was behind, she was the Secretary of State, gross. I mean, just a gross person, I'm sorry, but gross. You know, when she speaks, she's mad and angry and disgusted and aloof, and everyone's beneath her, and ugh, you know, that's how she behaves, like, ugh, you peasants. And she let Muammar Gaddafi, he had a treaty with us, he was fighting Al-Qaeda. And, I mean, he had a treaty with us that he would take great care of us and protect us against them because, of course, that was his realm. It's not our realm. We don't know the Middle East like the Middle Easterns do. And so we had an agreement with him, and he was doing a fine job. Well, when he started to mouth off, and he was a mouthy guy, and say he wasn't going to use the dollar anymore for oil, and guess what? Libya has oil, a lot of it. All of a sudden, one thing leads to the next, etc. So what happens is we take Muammar Gaddafi out. We have him killed in the streets by rebel force. It was terrible. I mean, it was on TV what they did. It's sad. These liberals are corrupt murderers, a lot of these liberal leaders. They're corrupt, homicidal sociopaths. We have the same thing going on right now with Biden in Ukraine. So anyway, they take out Muammar, and then that's where what happened in Benghazi. Why was there 61 CIA agents at the CIA annex, 12 blocks from the Benghazi attacks that did nothing? And word was out, they were told to stand down and blah, blah, blah. Why? Because they were over there after they took Muammar Gaddafi out, and these supposed rebel groups that were getting paid big bucks, their leadership knew what to do, where to do it, and how to do it. They were then transferring extreme dollar amounts of weaponry that we had provided to Muammar Gaddafi. They were transporting it to Syria. And Syria, as you know, was another hot box. It was a haven for radical ISIS and Muslims. That's when ISIS rose up. We sent them all this stuff. You know, things were, you know, they were saying that the president of Syria was letting off gas bombs. And I mean, folks, who even knows what's true? But I do know ISIS rose up out of the dust there. They have all U.S. artillery and armory. And now that it becomes more prevalent on TV, it's like, well, you know, we just left that behind, you know. We got out of there. We just left it behind. You left however many, what'd they say, $40 or $80 billion worth of equipment behind? Really? I mean, are we that pathetically dumb and wasteful? And Americans are like, oh, you know, the government, it's just money. Those numbers don't even make sense. I mean, they're just so far over my head. Like, really? $80 billion or whatever it was. I think that's what they said, $80 billion. $80 billion. $80 billion in stuff that kills people that's really good. And then what happens is, so that Obama builds ISIS up because he was absolutely a Muslim. I don't care what anyone says. Oh, that's a conspiracy. Yeah, it's a conspiracy when you can track his schooling. There's pictures of him dressed up fully in Islamic garb, pictures of him bowing to Allah and everything. He's a Muslim. Well, a lot of people are like, okay, freedom of religion, you know, he can do whatever he wants. Yeah, it's true. But what if a religion hates a country and is dedicated to the destruction of that country and other religions? Do we have freedom of religion? Can you allow freedom of religion for a religion that doesn't allow freedom? So, you know, Obama gets that whole ball rolling. Syria turns into a hotbed of Islamic growth and strength, of course, not to mention Pakistan. But anyway, so Obama's building this up. Ultimately, Trump comes in. He's a smart, straight shooting, honest guy. And I'll get back to that. In the same time under Obama, we had Pakistan. Pakistan was right on the border of Afghanistan, and it was where all these Islamic terrorists would hide because they were being protected. And they were being protected and trained in Pakistan on our dollars, of course. I mean, it's the corruption so disgusting. So Obama goes in, does the fake capture and kill and chuck in the ocean of Osama bin Laden. It was not Osama bin Laden. I was told from a deep, 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 deep inside source it was not him. And they believed it was his son. His leading son with the same name is what I was told was most likely. That's why they threw him or it, whatever they killed, in the ocean. We lost the chopper there. You know, it just builds and builds and builds. You've got the fake capture of Osama bin Laden, which was a sacrifice. In Islam, everything comes with a trade. You can go all the way back to Gaza, having a solicitation center, breaking every campaign election law the U.S. provides, and the Democratic Party, leading Obama, gets over $500 million in solicited donations for his election. This is why, if anybody remembers, what was the first trip Obama made when he became president? Think about this a minute. The very first trip he made was to Saudi Arabia. Now, you may not know this. They're also Islamic as can be. And guess what? We get images of Barack Hussein Obama. Barack Hussein Obama. But he's not a Muslim. Like Muhammad Ali is not a Muslim. He was Cassius Clay. Then he became Muhammad Ali. He's not a Muslim. Barack Hussein Obama. I mean, just common sense is a really good skill. So he goes and he bows below the navel of the king of Saudi Arabia. So the way they look at things is you have the eyes, the neck, the chest below your pecs, and then your belly button. Those are the levels. If you are a powerful leader and you bow before someone, you nod. You nod and you just bring your eyes down and right back. But you never lose eye contact. You keep eye contact, you nod your head and you lift, okay? If you're close in power, but they're a little bit below you, you bring your head down to their neck. your eyes. Everything's judged by the level of the eyes. You bring your eyes down to their neck and back up, but you still don't lose contact. If you're a powerful leader. If you're a respected confidant, this is all in the Quran, by the way. If you're a respect in the Hadith, if you're a respected confidant, you bow and you drop your eyes and you bring your eye level right down to the lower part of their chest. If you're a geisha or a sex slave or a peasant, whatever you want to call it, a house cleaner, I'm sorry, no offense to people that clean houses, because I'm, you know, it's fine. I don't mean a thing by it, but I'm just saying that's probably their level, you know. You bow your head, you put your eyes down like an ashamed puppy, and you bow your head all the way down below their navel. That's complete submission. That's what Obama did to the king of Saudi Arabia when he went there. Why? That guy had generated over $500 million for his election. Sellouts. When I met the crown prince of Saudi Arabia in French Polynesia, and he found out I was from Washington, he asked if I knew Hillary Clinton. No, that's the difference between Washington State and D.C. The guy he had the aura. And the first time I met him was because I like to wear these like Tommy Bahama shirts. They used to be silk. They're not anymore. They're made out of everything. And this guy, Tahi, who was the head of the Teacher Rose Society from Tahiti, he goes, man, you like nice silk shirts. I go, yeah, I do. And I mean, they're $100 a piece or something at the time. He goes, well, you know, whatever his name is, Salmon Salad, I call him. I don't know what his real, Salama Salam and Lama Salami, Baloney, Ham Sandwich, whatever his name is, I don't know. And so he goes, he has $2,500 silk shirts. And I'm like, whoa, I'd like to see what that looks like. So there was like no one on the island. We were on this private island. He was on his honeymoon, and I went to meet him. And he did have on some nice clothes. I mean, it was like, whoa. But they're all handmade. I don't have access to them. Doesn't even matter, because that's life. But anyway, so out of the brush, you walk down this, everything was like super high, 2-star Michelin restaurants, 24/7. And you walk down the side of this one building, and there's this hedge, a deciduous hedge, which basically, you know, in countries like that, they really don't ever shed their leaves. And he's sitting at a little bistro table along the edge, and there was really no one else around. So when I go to meet him and shake his hand, out of the hedge come these two mega henchmen, massive beasts. I'm like, whoa. And they were right on me, like, on me. And he looks up, he nods his head like it's okay. So now they back up a grand total of 6 inches. I can still almost feel him breathing on my neck. And then we met him, and, you know, later that night, I don't even know if it was that night, whatever, it doesn't matter. So, but the whole thing was his concept. Well, shortly thereafter, it came out that he had been paying some substantial money to bribe, well, I'm sorry, he was donating philanthropic money to Hillary Clinton's fund, whatever that is, the Clinton Fund, because they help people. No, they had over $300 million in that thing when she did not win the election. They now get an absolute grand total given to them of nothing. Basically, I'm sure there's people still bribing them for favors, but she's mad. She's PO'd. She's like, I was heading for $1 billion and that filthy Trump, that straight shooting honest guy, I will destroy that man. Trump gets in office, he goes to Syria, starts cleaning up the mess, and then, you know, and then they're like, oh, he's pulling out of Syria, you know, crazy stuff. Well, Trump was a wise, wise man. now that he's gone, I think we're all starting to realize it. One of the only problems that I have right now is people going, well, Trump's coming back. He's coming back. I know it. I watch The Praying Medic. You gotta watch The Praying Medic. I mean, I've seen all this stuff, folks. So what's The Praying Medic? He's a guy, he's all nice and humble and bald, and he's like, I had a dream. I dreamt this, and I dreamt that, and I dreamt this, and I dreamt, and Trump's coming back, and he's got a few good points that I don't think he got from a dream, but he does talk about how, like, the Mayan calendar ended in 2012, and there's other examples of that stuff the same time. And he's like, well, you know, people thought it was the end of the world, but I think it was the beginning of a new age. Yes? People been talking about this forever. Clear back in the 90s, when I was in banking, there was this Olaf guy in North Idaho who, he was nuttier than a fruitcake. And he would tell me, there's a big reset coming. There's going to be a spiritual transformation coming. And he was definitely not on the biblical side of spirituality. He was coming from the demonic side, and he creeped me out. But when you have the Holy Spirit in you, when you stand up spiritually, this Holy Spirit stands up spiritually, and I could tell you story upon story about that. But him, and I've heard many others saying, it's coming, it's coming, it's coming, it's coming, it's coming. Well, 2012 may very well have been the turning point. It sure makes sense to me when the Mayan calendar in it, but it isn't this whole thing about everything's going to be lovely and Jesus is taking over, and Jesus never stops reigning supreme, don't get me wrong. But these are dark times. The Bible talks about the restrainer. He who restrains is removed or lifted. We've seen this, and people are like, oh, that's got to be the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit's the church, and therefore the church has to be raptured. And, you know, we'll never know the Antichrist because we're going to be gone. That doesn't fit Jesus Christ's explanation of the end. There's so much in Matthew 24 that you can't even believe. I mean, well, hopefully you do. Sorry, that's a bad phrase. I have all these weird phrases like that. But the bottom line is, it's crystal clear that things are going to get worse before they get better. I'm sorry. But one thing I want to tell you is, let's see here, I'm going to go here to good old Matthew 24, and but one thing I was getting at, so I've got a couple things. Oh, Lord. I would love to talk. Okay, let's see here. Bingo, bammo, chamo, caramo. Did I get it? Yay! Well, let's take a look here. Well, what I was going to say, sorry, is money. That's all I wanted to say. Show's over. Talk to you later. No, I'm kidding. So, I was talking to another guy. I like to talk to people. If people know me, I love to talk. I've talked to people in various businesses. I'll interview. If I call a company for any reason, and I am talking to a gal or whatever, I'll say, do you mind? I tell them, I do a radio show, and if you don't mind, I won't quote you personally. I won't quote your name, but can I just ask you some questions? And I always dig in. The whole time I was in banking and everything, folks, I love people. I love people. I especially love lovable people, and I love rich spirits. I love people that know what they know what they know. I'm not saying I love know-it-alls. You know, there's people that are, if you think you know everything and you got it all handled and you find yourself, and you got to be honest, if you find yourself taking the speck out of your neighbor's eye and not noticing the log in your own, you're skewed. And people that do it struggle. And I know, here's the thing. When you meet people that are overbearing and arrogant and demanding, you've got a combination of personality things going on. They could have an extraordinarily aggressive personality, but they always have been wounded or have perceived themselves to be wounded. That's the most important thing. If you walk with Christ, and you know, I mean, people tune into this show all the time. I get comments, people be surfing the radio, and I sound like a religious freak. But here's the thing about me. I you know, I'll tell people my faith. I'm a Christian. And I have to apologize first. But I'm not like some of the Christian, you know what I mean? It's like, no, I live a real life. I'm a real person. I love real people. I will love you. I will love you despite your faith. When my wife and I, years back, were at the International Antique Show in Miami, which is mammoth, and frankly, I had a substantial amount of cash, and it, you know, and that's what I thought was the best thing to do. And of course, when I went through the airport here, I went through the whole harassment thing, and I notified them ahead of time. I talked to the head of the TSA and all this. And then when I got to Miami, we were greeted by DEA agents who were so corrupt, it was unbelievable. And we got, and God protected us, and we were able to go one direction, and they were running to a hidden, blind, unrecorded corner where the cars were. They were going to steal all this cash from me. It was not the most pleasant situation. But anyway, when we were down there, I had to liquidate all that cash, and that was quite the experience. So I'm kind of getting a note here, but let me write this down here. So, I'm gonna write this down. I'm gonna actually try to save. I'll get back to that here in a minute. I want to just kind of, for the sake of time, I want to get going here, and I'll get back to that other story here in a bit. So, one thing, okay, so what I'm going to do is just go through notes. Today's going to be a little bit, what's left with time is going to be a little bit bizarre. So, there's a new book that just came out by Robert F. Kennedy. You know, I'd say reputable, decent name, and he's part of the family. And it's on Fauci, okay? And he is basically laying out the truth about Fauci. Let me see the name of the book. It's got a long name, but it's really important. Who's Fauci? He's the crazy dude that heads up the NHI or NIH and CDC and everything for the U.S. government. He's poised to retire soon. He'll get the largest retirement package ever given in the U.S. government. He'll make, in retirement, which is 60% of your normal income, he'll make over $350,000 a year plus cost of living allowance raises, plus apparently his pension is in the millions, plus he's been collecting, depends on who you talk to in the source, but he reports over $3 million in 2020 from pharmaceutical company income. The guy is so corrupt, okay? So this book's coming out. This is the guy who's led the march. This is the guy who's led this coronavirus mess. Dr. Anthony Fauci. Okay? So they've got him tied. This is how bad things have gotten. The book is called, is there some trash out here? The Real Anthony Fauci. Bill Gates, Big Pharma. Please show up when I click on you. Thank you. The Real Anthony Fauci: Bill Gates, Big Pharma, and the Global War on Democracy and Public Health. And RFK's done a good job, Jr. It's a top-selling book, etc. He discloses things you wouldn't believe. He discloses the fact that Fauci's tied to this NIAID. What is that? The National Who Knows Something, right? Let's find out. Do you care? I'll find out. Okay, let's see. It is... time is take. I don't even know. It keeps giving me some weird definition. Where do they come up with that name? That's not a good use of time. But it is a National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases. So in this book, they document Anthony Fauci is a corrupt, sick man. He oversaw, among so many other things, folks, just sickness. He oversaw deadly experiments on orphan children and foster children without their guardian's permission. In other words, they lied. They said, oh, this is what we're doing. And they fed them poison that they knew was lethal, and they increased the doses to lethal doses. And they had 80, over 80 out of 500 die within a fixed period of time. Statistically, that's not normal mortality on children. And then over time, as they were released or whatever, they continued to die at about the same rate until the point where over 40% of these kids had died. And so when they tried to get a comment from Fauci's attorney or whatever, guess what his answer was? So over 40 out of 500, or I'm sorry, over 40% out of 500 kids died over a 3-year period of time that were involved in this involuntary, deceptive experiment, Hitler, Naziistic. And what'd they say? Well, you don't know that's why they died. So that's pretty normal though, right? I mean, do you think it's pretty normal that over 200 children out of 500 die just cause? Could be natural cause, right? Hope you know I'm being sarcastic. Very corrupt. These are orphans. What does Jesus say? Jesus says you take care of widows and orphans, does he not? I mean, these are things that, I mean, granted, people who live their lives this way are going to have, they're going to see a very, very ugly end, okay? Granted, justice is served. But, here's, I think, James 1 and change, 1 and change, that's a good scripture. I think at the end of James 1, it tells you that, like, what he said, anyway, he talks about if people think they're religious and at the law, that that's where he says, if you think you're religious and you cannot bridle your tongue, you're deceiving your own heart. And your religion, it says in these translations, is worthless. But the thing is, the word religion, threskia or whatever it is, it means worship. It means external worship, external discipline towards the Lord. It's not, I hate the word religion because it's a man-made trap. It's organization, it's liturgy, right? So he says, if you think yourself as being really spiritual, but you don't try to bridle your tongue. And I'll be honest, my tongue runs pretty hard. People who talk a lot like me in life, or you're going to make more mistakes. It's a percentage thing. It's easy to judge, but don't judge a man that slips up here and there, that's trying all the time, against a man who does nothing who sits there in a sedentary state, and, you know, percentage-wise, you can do the math if it's not that hard. But bottom line is, you know, he's saying if you don't try to bridle your tongue. But bridling your tongue doesn't, everyone means like, well, that means don't swear. You really think God made us that way? It's like, here's how you can be really spiritual. Don't swear. No, he's saying bridle your tongue. Control your tongue. Become phenomenal at speaking. Grow yourself. Learn articulation. Increase your vocabulary in excess at all times. To bridle, now I'm in there. There's a word for you. Whoa! In Greek. Kalinagogagueo. Seriously, kalinagogagueo. Can't tell you much more about that. It means to lead, guide, control, hold in check, restrain. Okay, it's like a horse. You control a horse, you train a horse. And I love this word check. My wife and I were the other night looking at Proverbs, something in Proverbs 22 about your name, and on we went. Check. Remember that word check. Check, 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 check. What does that mean? Check yourself, check yourself, check yourself, check yourself all the time. Check your emotions, check your thoughts, check your behavior, check. You have to check yourself all the time. How do you feel right now? Right now. Check. Why do you feel that way? Is it good? Is it bad? Can you control it? Check. Check yourself at all times. Kids, parents, adults, check. Check yourself. Sentient conscience. Observe yourself observing. Pay attention. How do I feel right now? Or why am I stressed? Why do I feel angry? Why am I sad right now? You know, there's people that wander around and they don't even know why they feel what they feel. They have no clue. So what happens? It blows out the side. It comes out in obscure ways. Check yourself. Check your mouth. That's what he's saying here. Check your tongue. Check your tongue. Check your tongue. But your brain runs your tongue, and your tongue dictates who you are and what you are and where you're going in life. Like I said, if you don't believe that, I can show you an FBI phone number you can call and threaten to kill the president, and your life will change. You can do a lot with your tongue. It's powerful. Empires are built by the tongue. Militaries are led by the tongue. Different people have different responsibilities and different levels. Check yourself at all times, okay? So then we go on here as we just eat up time. I technically wish I had more time. It says, if anyone thinks himself to be religious yet does not bridle his tongue or check and control it and master it like a horse, but deceives his own heart, in other words, you're lying to yourself, this man's religion or worship is worthless. Then it says, pure and undefiled worship or religion in the sight of our God and Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their distress and to keep yourself unstained by the world. Do you think Anthony Fauci's unstained by the world if he's killing orphans? I mean, why orphans? Why not go to suburbia to rich families? Because they're too smart. These kids have no one to protect them. That's why Jesus says you take care of orphans. If you don't look out for them, who will? So anyway, you get my point, right? I want to look up the word, the word unstained is aspalos in Greek. It means free from censure, irreproachable, free from vice, unsullied. Think about that. Free from censure. Censure. Free from being controlled by the world. Free from getting a vaccine because they said you need one. Free from wearing a mask because they said you need one. Free to do what is right for freedom and God. That's good stuff, folks. That is the point. The point is that we have to take care of orphans and widows, and despite opportunities like Anthony Fauci had to get rich by killing them, it's bad. So anyway, that came out in his book, and as usual, now I gotta speed her up. So it describes a bunch of corrupt business dealings that are very knowingly abusive. And he knows that he killed orphans, and it was for experimental HIV drugs, filling them full of toxic doses. This is the guy who's leading us over the cliff of the loss of rights, okay? So now all of a sudden, this is just some news touches here. Biden's supposedly backing off on mandates, and he's supposedly handing that over to state governors. Well, isn't that interesting that the left will defer things to a state government when they try to make all this federal control, which, by the way, he made good progress. Sicko. And then once it starts to turn on him, elections coming up, polls are down, flip it to the states. They're not going to the states because of the 10th Amendment and states' rights. They're going to the states because they're passing the buck. That's all they ever do. They're the left-wing communist leaders in this country. You know, I remember when I was a kid, you know, college, seeing these, the Communist Party, and I thought, what a bunch of nut jobs. Those guys are lucky they're not dead. You know, the leaders of that are now leaders in the Democratic Party, the Democratic Socialism. They believe in Democratic Socialism because they believe it gives them power. The left defers to the state when it doesn't work for them. The right defers to the state in order to protect your freedoms. That's what they want. Free. Freedom. So anyway, so Fauci is still demanding vaccine cards for all domestic air travel, which is just hideous. Masks don't work, never did. Evidence is there. There's too many ignoramuses. The media should be ashamed of itself. It's pounding out lie upon lie upon lie. The CDC, Center for Disease Control. I wish I had time, but they're still requiring a 5-day quarantine for any vaccinated or unvaccinated person who gets COVID. What does that mean? You're vaxxed or you're unvaxxed, and either way, you have to go on a 5-day quarantine. Weren't they concerned that the unvaccinated would transmit the disease? But I guess the vaccinated do too. In other words, the vaccine doesn't work. Wasn't the vaccine supposed to help you not get the disease? Oops, that didn't work. Well, it helps you not transmit it. Oops, well, we treat vaccinated and unvaccinated the same. You've been duped, folks. It's obvious vaccinations don't work. So why do they do this? And then they're coming out and saying so much I studied on this. Oh, I wish I had more time. So the thing is 2 days before and 3 days after symptoms appear from COVID, which is a joke now, especially with Omicron, that's when it's most transmissible. So you don't even know you have it. Or you just got over it and you're still handing it out. I mean, none of this even makes sense. Omicron's completely harmless. I've got all this documentation I didn't get to today, my lord. You know, governor, whatever he is, Mayor de Blasio in New York. Blech. That guy's heading out of office. So what's he doing before he leaves? He's imposing the harshest vaccine mandates on businesses in New York that have ever been made anywhere, requiring all employees everywhere to be vaccinated or tested 2 times a week. Well, now we know the tests are full of poison that kill you, some kind of weird ether substance. You know, on and on and on we go. This left-wing radical takeover, this is not done. Please understand, this is going to continue. There's certain people that get unnerved by it and stressed out. I'm sorry, but truth is truth. Now, the left's pushing the For the People bill to federalize our elections and codify their illegal activities. If they can ram this bill through, then no one can investigate. There's all this evidence coming out about how bad the last election was. In this January 6th thing that they act like, you know, this horrible riot took place at the Capitol. It's called the Great Walkthrough. Nothing happened. I mean, a few minor things happened. People got a little crazy. But now videos are coming out of riot police. In one case I saw, it was terrible. Beating a woman who they trapped. She couldn't get out. And they were beating her and beating her and beating her. She wasn't even in the Capitol. Beating her and beating her and beating her with clubs, punching her in the face. All these cops, these riot police, just tuning her up like worse than a gang beating. She was trapped, had nowhere to go. But did that show up in the January 6th report? No. I mean, it's, I don't think we're getting taught straight here. Golly, golly. I have so much stuff. Okay, by the way, I post my radio shows on the website, coinsplus.com again. For a long time, we had issues. I need another website. That's another story, another day. You can go listen to the last 8 or 10 shows on there, download them, or just listen. I think after I finish this show, I'm gonna add some other stuff to it. Maybe I will, maybe I won't, but it'll be there. Folks, here's the thing I was talking to about my friends. Oh, one guy helping people to get out of Ukraine, okay? The only people that have gold and silver were able to pack it up and bail. The rest of them lost all their money, all of it. Everything's gone. Don't think you're immune or numb. Just get your tail, 509-444-0044. Get in here. Protect your wealth. We'll help you do it, number one. Number two, give us 3 5-star reviews. We'll give you 2 free silver dollars. Take care. Give us a call. Bye-bye. Love you. Thanks.